Okay, Solid Ground, this morning I want to talk to you about the voices in your head and the voices in my head. Now, we have these stories that we rehearse in our heads, and as Jesus followers, it's important to look at them. And also as Jesus followers, we have such an advantage of actually discerning what these voices are telling us and if they're true or not. And there's a really smart guy I don't agree with, but his name's Christopher Hitchens. He's a materialist who believes that all we are is what we can see and taste and observe. And he says that you are a body. But if we're just a body, what's that voice in our head that tries to make sense of this broken world? What's that voice in our head of, especially when something bad happens? You know, we try to make sense. If we're just pure biology, if we're just pure matter and particles, what in the world explains the way we try to make sense, especially in the past year, that we've tried to make sense of what is going on around us? And as we're trying to make sense of these things, we develop narratives. We develop a story about why things are happening, why we do things, and why people do things to us, and why people do things in the world around us. I want to call them narratives. And sometimes those voices are true. Sometimes the narrative we make up is spot on. And a lot of times, the narrative that we wind up believing about ourselves and others is false, and it's really far from the truth. And our narratives are heavily influenced by where we were born. Our narratives are heavily influenced by the things we've experienced, the places we've traveled, our education, our lack of education, and they're all influencing the conclusions that we come to and the behaviors that and our habits that happen in our day-to-day lives. And some of those habits can lead us to being the biggest thing in our own way. And we've all witnessed someone who has just blown their life up in public. And if we think about it, we all know someone who has, at least for a season in their life, just destroyed their life. And it's so painful to watch. It's like sometimes watching someone in slow motion destroy their life, and you just want to say, stop! Like, just take a breath for a moment. And this week, I want to talk about a second habit. Last week, we talked about the habit of watching out when you waver. Like, when there's an opportunity, if there's an ethical dilemma, or, you know, there's something that just pricks your heart and you're thinking, like, I don't know if this is right. Like, I don't do an awesome Dr. Phil impersonation, but I try to do an impersonation of an impersonation of him. And he always said, that dog don't hunt. Like, whenever that dog don't hunt, we got to watch out when we waver, because that could be the Holy Spirit saying, like, ooh, don't go down that road. That's the path that leads to destruction, and you could become your own worst enemy. And this week, our habit is to watch out for the narratives that we rehearse. Watch out for the stories that we tell ourselves about the world around us. And just to prime the pump, I'm not preaching at just one person here. I don't have any one person in mind, but I just jotted down some of the narratives that are in the world around us, and you may find yourself in some of these. And if that's you, then listen to it and spend some time with God examining, is this narrative true? We tell ourselves, or we've heard people tell ourselves, I deserve better. You know, well, I'm entitled to. And I'm just going to go through these quickly. I should be further along. Ever told yourself that story? I'm not happy because, well, he should just be, or if she loved me, she'd, you know, or they don't care. Or, it doesn't matter. I'll just, you know what? It won't even make a difference. So, and then you fill in the blank. One of my favorite ones, I don't do exercise. Like, you can't exercise? No, I don't do exercise. You know, or just plain, I can't. You know, I'm better than that. You know, I just wish that they would just try harder. If they would just try harder, then, You know, are those, they're just losers. Or they don't deserve. You fill in the blank yourself. I can't live without this thing. Or, oh, Republicans are all, you know, those Democrats, they just, how about this one? Men. Or women are just, Or we form stories in our heads about, oh, those Baptists, they are, or Catholics, they're just so, you know, or if my dad had only, or if my mom had just, or, oh, those Southerners, they're those, I don't like those Southerners, or those Northerners, can I go back to the North, would ya? Or, I just can't believe those Californians. Well, you gotta watch out for those Californians. Like, none of these stories are completely rational, especially when they start out with all these people, or this happens every time, or I always. These narratives that we rehearse in our heads about ourselves and other people, they fuel and allow us to perpetuate excuses and justifications. They fuel prejudice, they fuel pride, they fuel going darker, racism, fear, and maybe most dangerously, when we don't listen to the right narratives, or we don't hold our truth up, our narratives up to the truth of Jesus Christ, these narratives can blind us to our interdependence on each other and on other people, and they can cause us to become more isolated and cause us to walk around in the dark. So, if you'd please open your Bibles or navigate in your Bible app to the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 10. The author of this had to contend with a lot of false narratives, both in his own life and also in the people around him, because the author is Paul, and he steps onto the pages of history as a Jesus hater. I mean, ruthlessly and relentlessly persecuting Christians. And then he has an experience with the resurrected Jesus and starts to follow him. And he meets the first followers of Jesus, the apostles, and begins to cultivate a life where he's on the path of becoming like Jesus. And he's made to know that he's not supposed to stay within the boundaries of the Jewish world, but to go out and talk to the non-Jewish Gentiles in the Roman Empire and confront a drastically different worldview than the one he came with. And he moved away from his purely Jewish worldview when he started to follow Jesus. And now he comes into the Roman mindset, presenting God's kingdom to the Romans, who were pagans, and confronting their narratives, where they just assumed things that, because of you and I, when we hear these things that happened in the Roman Empire, we think, oh my goodness, that is repulsive. I can't believe that any person was potential property, that everyone was one missed debt away, or could be one missed debt. Virtually everyone could become a slave. We hear that in 2021 and think that's just crazy. But for them, it was just life. They experienced the world in such a different way that Paul had to use in his letter like military language. And he doesn't do that very often. But this issue of the stories that we rehearse in our heads and the narratives that we listen to was so important that he used like the strong, intense military language to confront these ideas that maybe we've just swallowed our whole life because of where we were born or our family of origin or whatever reason. But if we've never held these stories up to the truth of Jesus's teachings, we may be setting ourselves up for trouble. In the Roman Empire, they believed might makes right. They believed whoever had the most power, you know, they made the most rule. They made the rules. They got to make it up. There was no like morality like we think of it in 2021. And especially for those of us who followed Jesus, there was no morality to speak of. And they determined, they believed that the gods determined people's fate. Like, oh, there's nothing we can do. If that person's supposed to die, oh, the gods willed it. If that village was supposed to be wiped out, that was just their fate. And here the Apostle Paul comes in confronting these mindsets and confronting these narratives with the teachings of Jesus. And he realized how important it was to be proactive in confronting these, that he used such strong language. So he says to these folks, "For though we live in this world, we do not wage war as the world does." So this is different than a physical military strategy, but make no mistake about it. In our minds, we have a battle to face, and it's all around this idea of telling ourselves and rehearsing the right stories and rehearsing God's story about yourself and about other people. He goes on, "The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of this world." And he's not talking here, he's not using the language of like shields and swords. This is siege equipment that you bring in to take over a town, the big stuff. Those are the weapons that we use, and they're not of this world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. And that word stronghold there is a stone wall that protects a city or protects a giant palace. And he goes on to say, "We demolish arguments." Now, this word arguments, you know, go back to when you were in middle school or high school and you were a teenager and you believe something and your parents or whoever took care of you believe something else. And what did you think? "I just can't believe they believe that," you know. And it's amazing how much more intelligent and with it your elders and your parents get the older you get. In the 20s, it's like, oh, maybe they had a thing or two. In your 30s, and you start going through life, you're like, oh my goodness, why didn't I listen? Because there was a stronghold when you're a teenager that keeps truth out. You know, being a youth pastor, there were so many times when I would get a text message from one of my teenagers to say, "My parents are so stupid." And the irony was completely lost on them that they're texting me on a multi-hundred-dollar device that their mommy or daddy bought them. And then they would go on to say, "I don't need school because blah, 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 blah." And they're texting that on a device created by people who went to school and did it right. You know, there's a stronghold there, and they're not rehearsing the right narratives. And it was always a challenge to reframe that conversation and to point them towards a true narrative instead of the ones they were rehearsing. That's what Paul's talking about, the saying, we use these big weapons that God has given us to demolish these kinds of arguments. And he goes on, "and pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God." And this pretension word, different translations in English go different ways with this word that we're using, pretension. But it means like the high things. It means the conceit, the arrogance, that cold-hearted attitude, that I'm better. Like Paul is saying, we need to assault those attitudes. The minute we notice it, the minute God brings it to our attention, we're ready to go. That's where the battle is. And we don't just bring a water gun to that fight. We bring the big siege, the catapults to destroy those attitudes. And then here we go. "And we take captive every thought and make it obedient to Christ." Every single narrative, we hold that up to the truth of Jesus. And then we take it. If it doesn't line up, we take that thing captive. And that word is like prisoner of war, ankle to ankle, wrist to wrist. Like we say, okay, and we bring those to Jesus and say, "Remind me of the truth. I need you to tell me the right story, God. This is not the truth. I need all of our thoughts. We need all of our thoughts to be obedient to Jesus Christ. Because if we don't, we'll wind up. Every habit begins with the first time. Every slippery slope that we can fall down starts with a first step. No one wakes up in the morning thinking, "I'm going to have an affair today," just out of the blue. Nobody wakes up going, "I'm going to commit fraud today at work." Like there's these micro habits. And that's why we're talking about these pre-decision decisions that will keep us from blowing up our lives. And I'm talking about this as a pastor, not just for you. And not just for me. This is about way more than you and I as individuals. Like, every time someone messes up their life and becomes the thing in their own way, it affects other people. It affects the people in the world around them. And it also affects our witness and reputation. If we're a Jesus follower, it affects the way people view God. This is ultimately about giving God glory and us living lives. It's not just, it's important to have our hearts right and make sure we're in good standing with the Lord, but ultimately this is about bringing heaven to earth and accomplishing God's mission in the earth. That's why this is such a big deal in the language that Paul is using, and using such strong language. Like, we got to fight this. We got to fight the battle in our minds and taking every thought captive. And this is why the Gospels are so important, the accounts of Jesus's life. If you want to know which, if a voice in your head, if a thought that you're rehearsing over and over again is true or not, like, that's why we have the account of Jesus's life. That's why God inspired people to write down the accounts and preserve them over these thousands of years, is so we can have the teachings of Jesus. We don't worship the Bible, but if we want to know what God is like, we watch what Jesus does in the scriptures. We listen to the words and study them over and over again. And then we'll begin to know more and more as we progress in our journey of following him, the right ways to act. And it also keeps us from messing up our lives. I love it that towards the end of Jesus' life, we have this story. And as a refresher, I've talked about it before, but one of Jesus' followers, as things are really starting to go down, and Jesus is preparing his followers for his crucifixion and his resurrection, and they're trying to connect all the dots. And Philip speaks up in John 14:8 and says, just show us the Father. Jesus, just show us the Father. And the more I reflect on that, the more I think how right on Philip is in asking that. Because if we could see the Father, and if we could see what the Father sees, if we could see what God sees, then we would see ourselves correctly. And we would see the world around us correctly and the people around us correctly. And so he was right on. And then Jesus starts off in this answer. And it's the kind of answer that from a first century Jewish perspective, all the people would have been right if they were listening to their old narratives, their pre-Jesus narratives. They should have walked out of the room and never had anything to do with him again. But after time of seeing Jesus heal people, like one time Jesus healed somebody, and the religious leader said, you healed somebody and you said their sins are forgiven and only God can forgive sins. And Jesus is kind of like... And there was another time where Jesus said, this temple, which was the centerpiece of Jewish religion and the Jewish worldview, he said, this temple is being destroyed and there's something better coming than the temple. And when he was questioned, they're like, oh, only God's greater than the temple. And Jesus is, I'm laying the breadcrumbs out there for you. And here he comes, his answer to Philip in verse 9. He says, don't you know me, Philip? Even after I've been with you for a long time, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. He's saying, you've been with God. Just look at me. You want to know what God is like? Look at me, watch me, listen to me, and imitate me. Like, it's right in front of you. And so he was confronting Philip's, like, okay, his narratives weren't right. And Jesus is saying, here's the example. Here is truth with skin and bone. Like, look at this. And if we would just look at Jesus and hold our stories up to them, we would realize that yes, the world is broken. The Gospels tell us that, Scripture tells us that, and it points to Jesus from beginning to end. The world is broken, and at the same time, you matter to God, and the people around you matter to God. And as we begin laying down and taking captive these false narratives, we can help others find their freedom, and we can ultimately make the world a better place. Because if we follow the teachings of Jesus, we realize that being full of yourself leaves you empty. And as we empty ourselves and receive truth instead of all the false things that we lay down, we will wind up full. So Jesus could say these things as a refresher. We talked about this last week. Everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who builds his house on the rock. Like, if we don't hold up our narratives and accept the truth and live by the truth, we're not building our house on a firm foundation. Paul continues, 2 Corinthians 10:6, and we will be ready. This is like a warrior stance. My kids just watched Karate Kid for the first time, and they love the warrior stance. Like, that's what Paul's being talking about. Like, we're ready and on alert and being mindful about every little voice that pops into our head to punish. And that word is justice, like to put wrong things right and to act quickly. We're ready to act quickly when the wrong attitudes show up, when hate shows up and fear shows up, and we stay with those and pull on those threads and figure out what's really going on. Why are we really angry? Why are we really lonely? And when we get that, in a moment of prayer, we say, Jesus, is this true? And if it doesn't line up to the truth of Jesus, we take that thing captive and get rid of it. So to punish every act of disobedience once your obedience is complete. So I have a question for you, and it's not a trick question. So I'll just tell you the answer to this is yes. So no matter where you're at, you can put it in the comments, or you can even say it out loud. In light of all of this, is there a stronghold in your life that needs to be torn down? Now let's say it all together or comment it all together. Yes, absolutely. There's a stronghold that we need to tear down. So I want to get in your business for just a moment. And not every one of these is going to connect with your life and what you're going through or the decisions you're trying to make or the voices that you're hearing in your head. But maybe one of these two may prick your heart. Maybe one or two of these may hit you right between the eyes. But let's reflect on the narratives that we've been telling ourselves. You know, what's the story behind why you don't call your sister, or why you don't call your brother, or your mom, or your dad, or your oldest kid? What's really going on behind that? What's the story you tell yourself when someone points out to you that you drink too much? What's the story behind your reaction to the people in your life that tell you you drink too much, if that's you? Like, does that story line up with Jesus's example? Does that story line up with the teachings of Jesus? What's the story behind why you moved in with him or why you moved in with her? Like, does it line up? What's the story you tell yourself about why you're not more generous or why you don't pay your taxes? What's the story you tell yourself when you let yourself continue despising Democrats, despising Republicans, not liking rich people, not liking poor people, not liking white people or black people or brown people or immigrants? What is that? What's the story you tell yourself for why you gave up on God or for why you stopped going to church? Like, this is like real life stuff of following Jesus. We talk about it a lot. follow Jesus. But this is what it looks like, is looking at every one of the thoughts that we have and going, is this true according to what Jesus taught? What happens to your narratives when you hold them up to this? For God so loved the world. Like, God so loved not just planet Earth, but the world, the people, the cultures. God loved that world. God loved you and God loved the people around you and in your life. For God so loved that world, he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. When you take your narratives about what's going on, the way you're making sense of the brokenness in this world and in your life, and hold it up to that, does it change your perspective? Because, you know, there is truth. Like, our family of origin, where we were born, and what we've experienced, that for sure influences our narratives. But we're not supposed to stay there. When we come face to face with Christ, that's when we begin becoming like him and realizing, I've swallowed that as truth my whole life, but it doesn't line up with what Jesus said and taught. So I'm gonna lay that down, and I'm gonna keep focused on what Jesus said to do and how Jesus said to live. How about this one? This is from Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought with a price. Therefore, honor God with your bodies. Like, what does that do to your narratives when you realize that you're not your own? When you follow Jesus, like, your thoughts, your body, all the stuff you have, it doesn't even belong to you. It's been bought with a price, because God, who created all of this, loved you so much that he eliminated every barrier between you and having a relationship with God. My friends, let's pay attention to the voices in our head. This is how we do it: demolishing arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. So this challenge I'm accepting this week, we're not going to be perfect at this. This is a journey. This isn't a switch we can flip, but we can take the next step in our journey. And with God's help, we'll be better at it next week, next month, hopefully next year. And let's start moving in the right direction. So here's the challenge. I will demolish every narrative that conflicts with the value system introduced by Jesus. Like I mentioned before, this is the nitty-gritty of us talking about following Jesus. It sounds so nice and fluffy, but this is real life. And this is the actual mission of our church, being changed by Christ to live like Christ. We can't do it on our own, and it's a continual process. That first word is intentional. It's a continual being changed. Let's let God change our lives this week and face the scary work of maybe realizing that something we've believed about ourselves or other people isn't true. But we'll experience freedom and joy, and ultimately we'll make God look good when in our lives, and then collectively, as all of us individuals come together and be the church and live like Jesus and take our thoughts captive and start living out the truth, that's what changes communities and regions and ultimately the world. So in the end, this is about a better life and a better world. And if you want prayer for anything, our prayer partners are standing by. Please reach out to us and just message us. This is not a journey that you can take alone. And if you feel like you need a little encouragement, a little extra touch, a little extra pep in your step when it comes to this, because this can be really heavy stuff. But the good news is, you know, not only is God with you, but there's a community here, a solid ground, that we would love the honor of being on this journey with you. So no matter where you're at with this or how you're processing this, I invite you to please just open your heart and let me pray a pastoral prayer over you in this moment. So wherever you're at, please join me in prayer. Dear Jesus, in this world, we need a lot of truth. We need your truth to invade our hearts. And in this moment, would you please give us the courage where we falter to hold up every thought we have to you? And would you shine your light in our hearts and shine truth in our minds and bathe us in your presence as we hold up things that we may have believed for years and years and years that aren't helpful? God, we ask that we, as we lay down our false narratives, that you would replace them with your truth, with your help. Use us for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So thank you so much for spending some time out of your week with us. I want to remind you, for everything that's going on at Solid Ground, you can find it at sgbic.com. And if you're new here, please don't hesitate to fill out our online Connect card. We want to get to know you better and to get to know your family better. So before we dismiss, may the Lord bless you and keep you and cause his face to shine down upon you. The Lord be gracious to you and turn his face towards you, and may the Lord give you his peace. In the name of the Father, and Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.